Welcome to a particularly soul-infused episode of Love Soul with a super special guest who has shown his soulful mettle on some of the most vulnerable, joyful, and uplifting chart-topping music ever produced. His collaborations read like the who's who of soul royalty, from Stevie Wonder and El Debarge, Jill Scott to John Batiste and Erykah Badu. A genre-crossing virtuoso, this gifted musician is bringing his gorgeous fusion of soul, gospel, and R&B to Australia this month, and it gives me great, great pleasure to welcome multi-Grammy award-winning singer, songwriter, and producer extraordinaire PJ Morton to Love Soul. Welcome to the show, PJ.
Fine. Thank you. I got to bring you on the road with me with that introduction. Say that everywhere. God, thank you.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure. First off, how are you over there in New
Orleans?
I'm
doing great. Yeah, I'm doing great. I'm home. We've been keeping busy, you know. It's already a busy year, but great problem to have. And I'm just excited. Can't wait to get over there to Australia and start to play. It's like it's going to be our first tour of the year. So we can't wait to kick it off and get back on the road, you know. Yeah.
Well, we can't wait to see you. You've got so many fans here, and I think you bring a level of soul and a level of audience connection that just blows so many of these modern artists out of the water.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you saying that. We love it. We love it.
So I need to jump straight into your life and your music mantra. I've been doing some research. Following My First Mind, that was the name of your first studio EP, and it was launched in 2012. And I love that you said, and I have to quote you here, I think we need to get back to that mantra of doing exactly what we hear, because that's what makes us exactly who we are. I'll follow my first mind on this music that I hear and do what feels good to me and just pray that other people dig it. And they're digging it. Talk us through that.
Wow. That's amazing to hear. I don't always remember what I've said, but it sounds so familiar. We just did an album in Africa in 30 days. And that was the mantra was, you just got to trust your instincts. Sometimes I give myself so much time that I'm able to overthink myself out of things and, you know, overthink myself out of what made a song special. And ultimately, I think we're given that feeling to listen to it. You know what I'm saying? Because we're individual and no, it doesn't need to sound more like that. It doesn't, it needs to sound exactly like you heard it. And so it's crazy to hear myself say that. I got a tattoo that says FMFM, following my first mind, but hearing that is amazing. Cause I still believe it 100%. Yeah.
I think that's, I love that you said that. I think it's just the artist's, you know, problem that we tend to overthink and overanalyze, and then analysis leads to paralysis. And so we don't end up. You grew up as a preacher's kid, so you've got gospel in your blood, Mr. Morton, but one of your favorite things is Purple Rain, you know, with hits like Darling Nikki. Is it all good for the soul?
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately it's the gift. I mean, it's hard to deny the genius of Prince, you know, and the genius of that expression. I think everything has its place, you know, and but it'd be hard for me to deny that that is in fact good for the soul, you know, the way Prince expressed and the way he showed his gift, you know, of music and the way he played instruments. I'm going with yes. I'm going with a yes on that being good for the soul for sure.
What did your father think though when you said, "Listen, Daddy, I'm going to be listening to Purple Rain for the rest of the week"?
I didn't say that. Yeah, I didn't say that. That was one of the things. It wasn't time for me to tell him that quite yet. I was just internalizing it, you know. But no, I wasn't going to let him know that I was, you know, watching them take a dip in Lake with Minnetonka. There we go. No, I wasn't ready to tell him. I had to sneak with my friends to watch that part. So.
I think the question is, how do you internalize a genius like Prince?
How do you internalize it? I mean, I think I think you don't have a choice in a way. You know, it's like for me, it was just the music, the level of music, the integrity in the music. You knew that he wasn't playing around with it. Like he took every note serious. The way he crafted songs, the way he connected to people. I took all of those things. I mean, I think Prince, for me, Prince D'Angelo, which I think all are basically, it starts with James Brown and it goes to Prince and it goes to D'Angelo. But for me, that is how I learned to do live shows. I mean, directly, like just watching them and learning from them. So I think the thing I most internalized about Prince was live expression and live performance for sure. Yeah, it's no question.
So, speaking of Prince and the obvious connection to soul, because you're now grown, so I'm sure your father knows that you've got a Prince fetish, dare I say.
Yeah, I mean my dad remixed Purple Rain. I don't know if you guys know this. Yeah,
Rip.
it's a song we have called Let It Rain. And
Wow.
it was actually a huge song for my father, like a very popular song. But at the end, it's got like the same progression. At the end, he goes, so my dad loved my it, Prince even got to my dad. So I think when it's great music, it's undeniable, especially him as a musician. So I think you're able to, when it's great enough, you're able to take what you want from it and trash the rest if you want, But like I said, what's undeniable is undeniable. So it even got to him, and he would be singing that. We would sing that in churches all around the world. So Prince
Oh
made
my
it there as well. You can
God.
look it up, but he kills
I will. So
it. Yeah.
essentially what I'm hearing is that your father, the preacher, repurposed the purple.
That's right. That's right. That's a fact.
And what I also love is that you work together with your father and you produce Gospel According to PJ from the songbook of PJ Morton, and you work with Bishop Paul Morton, Mary Mary, Kirk Franklin. When you're producing music like that, is it something that you don't necessarily dream up? It's coming through you.
Yeah, I think that's all my music, actually. I don't become I don't put on a different hat to do gospel, a different hat to do pop, to do R&B or soul. For me, it's always authenticity, is what I'm trying to be always, as much as possible, try to have the least amount of filter in between what I'm feeling and what I'm trying to convey. And so, I mean, doing something like that, it is. That album specifically was a lot of me going to my childhood and the music that I grew up on and the artists I grew up on. I think that was the most fun for me, because I was mostly a producer on that album. I mean, I sang on a few songs, but for me it was like, oh wait, I can get Kirk Franklin and I can get Yolanda Adams and I can
Oh
get
my
Kimber.
God.
I can get all of my favorite artists and like that I grew up on and get them to sing the songs the way I want, commission, like getting them back together to do. Yeah. So it was like I was a kid in a candy store, and I did a lot of it during the pandemic when we were home. So I had access to, most people were settled. So I was able to get to all of these people. And for me, that was a dream come true, and then wrapped it in a bow by having these conversations with my dad as transitions in between the songs. I mean, it's a very special album to me, and then icing on the cake to win Gospel Album of the Year at the Grammys for it. It really, really, really made it even more special. Yeah.
Well, that to me says loud and clear that you're on path. When you produced that album, you found the positive in what was obviously a very unsettling time in the world. I love that. I
Yeah.
love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of your childhood, though, PJ, a little birdie tells me that your mother tried to make you have piano lessons,
That's right.
and music, and you said, "I'm not doing
Well,
it."
I because she was my mother, I did it at initially, but it didn't last long. Yeah, no, she really, my mother was a big classical music fan, and I think the way she grew up also, she only saw that one path. My father came from a very different world. I mean, he's from Windsor, Ontario, Canada, but it's right by Detroit. And the way he grew up in church, these musicians were like a dime a dozen where they play by ear and learn, learn by ear without reading. So he knew the possibilities of that. I mean, he knew virtuosos who never read music ever, And so it was that dichotomy in my house. But I tried piano lessons because I thought that was the only way initially, but I was playing with the radio, I was playing with the television, and I was learning these. I was already playing songs. So to go back to na 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 na, like as a kid was like, man,
Scales,
I'm already
scales.
playing cool songs. Yeah, I'm already playing like the girls already like this song. Like I don't want to do that. And so I just didn't have the discipline. And thankfully, I had my father there who's like, look, he's gonna be all right. He's got the gift. And thankfully, it worked out. It worked out. My mom understands now, she's got it now.
I think she'd be kind of a little bit sort of proud of you right now, I'm guessing.
Oh, I say she's a little bit more than that. Yeah, you can find her in my comments on in Instagram on any post. She's representing.
Love it.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of gifted musicians, we got to do this. I mean, when I read this and when I realized that this is the extent of your soulful reach, let's to Wonder, Mr. Stevie Wonder. So you collaborated, Stevie, you collaborated with him on your 2013 single Only One. And you produced his vocals on the 2022 single Be Like Water, which I love, like the message to remain fluid with life's challenges and changes. Gorgeous. So what would you say to 10-year-old PJ, who is adoring Stevie from a distance, and now suddenly you're sitting in a studio with him?
Man, I would tell him you're not gonna believe this. Sit down, take a seat, man. You're not gonna believe this. Stevie is actually gonna be your friend one day, and Stevie's actually gonna want to take direction from you, with you producing his vocal, and like he's gonna tell you that you've written one. He wish he wrote one of the songs you wrote, and Stevie, I mean, I know he does it for me, but he does it for so many artists. He's always so supportive and like encouraging. I mean, at a time where I was confused, he told me not to give up and how I was needed and necessary. And it's just been a pleasure. I don't take for granted, even though I can be closer to him now. I realize who that is and what he's done and what he represents. And I'm always in awe, I mean, he doesn't want me to be in awe, right? So I try my best to just chill because he just wants to chill. He's like, we're friends, but that's Stevie Wonder. And I'm just so blessed to be able to be around him and to make music with him. I mean, I would be okay just being around and just having conversations, but the fact that we also get to create music together is beyond my wildest dreams, literally,
Can you give me one word to describe that experience with him?
surreal, surreal, surreal.
Love it. I appreciate that we don't have that much time with you, so I've only got a couple more things that I need to explore. Aside from the fact a little bit of fangirling at the end of our conversation. So your current single, Please Be Good. What inspired you to bring that song to life?
Well, I mean, I was in Lagos, Nigeria. I went on a trip in October to the continent of Africa for 30 days. We went from South Africa to Cape Town, Cape Town to Johannesburg. Then we went to Nigeria, Ghana, and Egypt. And I put pressure on myself to write an album in 30 days because I wanted to trust those instincts we're talking about. Just following my first mind without like get having any time. And Please Be Good. One thing I don't usually do is a lot of outside production. I generally produce my own stuff. But in that spirit of trying things, I was like, all right, let me be open to producers. And I met this guy, P Prime, in Nigeria, and he started playing these beats. And then he got to this track. And I mean, I immediately took out my phone and started humming melodies, and like it was immediate. It was immediate. And I wanted to trust that melody. So that exact melody that I wrote right there, hearing it the first time, I eventually put lyrics to. And you know, I wasn't forcing it, but if the sound of Africa was there, then I was gonna let that be. Whatever it was, I was gonna let it be. So I love that you can hear the African influence on it, the Afro beats, the I'm a piano vibe that's on there, just came through naturally. We really didn't force that. And you know, for me, it feels like a PJ song. It feels like an R&B song, but it's mixed with that. And I think when you merge that stuff, you know, you get something new and beautiful. So I'm really happy with it.
What, how does your songwriting, how is the fact that you're a father influence your artistry?
That's a great question. Because I was an artist long before I was a father. I
Yeah.
think for me, I think it just makes me probably, you know, think even deeper. I mean, thinking is something I try not to do when creating, but
Yeah.
so I would say that it makes me more aware, just because I deal with so many things, so many different issues, different personalities. It makes me more open, you know, and more aware to other people and other things. And I think ultimately just opens me up, you know, to the world. It doesn't make me more sensitive because I've always been that. I've always had that sensibility. So I think they just enhance that, you know, having kids just enhances that.
It's the greatest love you'll ever know. That's what I feel.
No,
I'm
that's a
a mother.
fact.
Yeah. So,
That's a fact.
yeah, I can't speak enough about that, but we don't have much time together right now. So, here's something that I find quite fascinating, and I've only discovered this about you in the last 24, 48 hours, that
Okay.
you've written a memoir, Saturday Night, Sunday Morning, Staying True,
Yeah.
Myself from the Pews to the Stage.
That's right. Yeah. Well, that's new information. That's new information, but I'm excited. That's coming out this fall. You know, I thought it was time, doing this independently the way I've done it for so long now. You know, I was independent before that was like a popular word, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yes.
To be able to win 5 Grammys as an independent, people have started to ask me questions now. How did you do it? How do you do it? And also, like we just talked about, just winning a Grammy for a gospel album, but the year before winning for best R&B song, you know, with Say So, and winning album of the year with John Batiste, you know, being in Maroon 5, being signed to Lil Wayne at one time. It's just a unique story, you know, it's like different. And many people don't know how I did this. They don't know how I got there. They don't know what my story is. So I thought, you know, it's 20 years in October of my first independent record, Emotions. And so I thought it was a good time to finally start to share some of this stuff. I just keep working usually, but I said, let me stop and like share some of this story. So I'm excited about it. Saturday night, Sunday morning. Yeah.
I can't wait to read it, but I think divine design can't be scripted, can
That's right. That's right.
it?
Yeah. Even when you think you know, you know.
You
Yeah.
don't know,
Yeah,
because the
exactly.
bigger than we know and what we think we know.
That's right.
Okay, so now I have to fangirl, because I
Okay.
this is a song, this is a, not that I haven't been fangirling, but I've been quite restrained.
Yeah, no, we've been rolling. We've been rolling.
So this song I discovered in the last, I want to say 3 or 4 months ago, and it is to me the incantation, the spell that you need to cast when you want to
Okay.
uplift around you, the better benediction. Oh my God.
Ah. Yeah.
I
Better
saw this track. Talk to me.
benediction, man. It's crazy. Good morning, the song that I just won the Grammy for this year, was the original Better Benediction. We had done it years ago, and I had that movement. And I tried to put Good Morning on Watch the Sun. I had been trying for years, couldn't write it. It still didn't feel right. So I started to change the chords up a little bit, and it went from to and we slowed it down, and then it just started to flow. And I knew I wanted it to be the last song. And in church, we call that the benediction when they're given a blessing at the end of the service. And I just knew that I wanted it to be something that was repeated. I believe there's power in repetition. And
Absolutely.
you say that it's going to be better enough times, you start to believe it. You know what I'm saying? And when you start to believe it, things start to get better, you know? So it's actually a song that I didn't know was going to connect so as much as it did, honestly. But it has connected. And we had to do different versions. You know, I did the fellas and then I had to do the ladies, you know, after I did that. No, it's a special tune.
PJ, it is profoundly powerful. Just on a personal note, and I know that we're going to be wrapping this up really, really soon. I experienced something in a professional sense where I wasn't, treated particularly well in a job that I had, and there was one line in the female in the ladies' version of Better Benediction where Kira Sherd, I think that's how you pronounce it,
Kiara,
where she,
yeah.
if they counted you out, oh, they
They
can't
can't
count.
count. They can't count. It can't be right, you know. They counted you out. It can't be right. They can't count.
Can you give it a buzz?
Huh? Oh, let's see. Don't worry about it, leave it alone. It will get better. Hope you believe it by the end of the song. It will get better.
Love you.
Thank you. Love you too.
So lastly, and I hope that we can catch up in Sydney, we've got a Love Soul t-shirt. Do you want it in black or white, PJ?
Let's do. I like. No, I want the white. I want the white one. I can see the white one. I can wear that with anything.
Okay. All right. Beautiful. We will get you a white one. Joe, I want you to come into the conversation if you've got a quick question for our beautiful PJ before I ask him the seminal Love Soul question.
All
All
what
right.
size shirt should we get you? Can't wait to see you here in
Oh,
Sydney.
a large, yeah.
And I'm just thankful that you had time today to spend with us and to
Of
share your
course.
creativity, because Love Soul is about connecting with others through creative arts and music and songs and conversations. So thank you for connecting with us.
My pleasure. Yeah, my pleasure.
PJ, what do you think of when I say the words love soul?
Oh. You just brought up my kids. When I well, love soul together, what do I think of? He's saying, okay, love soul. Wow, love soul. You know, I think of the fact that I do love soul music, and I love soul. I think soul is ultimately the thing that we can't explain, and the thing that connects, not non-verbally. It just connects from heart to heart. And I think love does the same thing. So those two words are connectors, I believe. And yeah, that's what I think of when I think of love. So,
You've just given me
yeah.
goosebumps. Love it.
Word.
PJ, it's just been an absolute huge, huge pleasure to talk with you this afternoon or this morning, this evening. I've
Yeah. Oh,
lost
yeah.
all.
It's all good. We're all over. We're all over. Yeah. It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And hopefully we can catch up with you in Sydney. And to what do you want to say to all your Australian fans who can't wait to see you?
Yeah, I'll see you soon. I mean, I'm gonna give you everything I got on that stage. I can't wait to connect with everybody and hear you sing along with me, sing back to me. It's gonna be a give and take, and I can't wait. It's gonna be a good time.
Get ready for an unforgettable night of soulful music with five-time Grammy Award-winning artist PJ Morton live at the Metro Theatre on March 28th. Please don't. Join us for an evening filled with incredible melodies and infectious rhythms that will have you dancing all night long. Secure your tickets now at bluesfesttours.com.au before they're gone. PJ Morton at the Metro Theatre, March 28th. Get your tickets today. Proud East Side sponsor.